Coach Conk, Brad Teague, if you're listening, I got a car for you. They got a purple Challenger down here that you've really got to think about. And, of course, Dr. Teague's family's a little bit big, and I don't know if Coach Conk would feel comfortable putting his grandkids in the back seat of that thing, but yes, Hope, you're quite the car model there, my friend. Anyway, you got to come. I'm going to tweet this out. This is a beautiful ride. So that's just one of the many vehicles. They actually have 500 pre-owned cars amongst the Landers stores, and you can go to Landers.com to find out more about those. And they actually have a pre-owned sale going on. So they're 38 by the end of the month, or by the end of the week, I guess. Is that what he said? End of the month. We'll go end of the month. Yeah, so we've got about 10 days left here. So you need to get down here because they are working it. And the other thing is the GM is gone, so there's no telling what kinds of crazy stuff they'll do here. Kevin Wilson is apparently on a summer vacation with his family, so there's no telling what kind of crazy, nutty stuff that they might be doing here in his absence. So I say you come down here to exit 121 in Benton and take advantage of it. Plus, you get your photo taken with the greatest darn editor-in-chief around town.
How about that? Yeah.
Who's your favorite celebrity editor? Or favorite, not celebrity editor, but favorite movie editor?
Movie editor?
Yeah. Like, you go Mr. Jameson from Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
You got Perry White. Why did all these superheroes work at...
The guy that everybody talks about is the Jimmy Olsen. The photographer for
no relation.
No relation, but I like him. Yeah, we'll go.
Jimmy Olsen's he's a blue collar fellow. I can see that being your guy. Yeah, sure. That's cool. Yeah. If you want in today, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. You can send us Keithley Service Company Live Fan feedback. You can email us thezone@1037thebuzz.com. We're going to be here all day, regardless of what happens. So, good stuff today coming up at 11:30. We're going to talk to Spencer Hall, who's always entertaining. I don't know if you've ever read his stuff on Every Day Should Be Saturday or SB Nation, but he is a trip. And he's going to join us today at 11:30. We'll talk to him about the SEC. He's been very enamored with Brett Bielema. At least he was impressed by his performance at SEC Media Day. So we'll get his thoughts on Brett Bielema, what he expects to see from the Hogs on the field. Seems what everybody's starting to talk about now is we've moved in from talking season into prediction season, and then we'll get into actual football season coming up soon. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to him about what he thinks his style will look like in the SEC and how successful he can be in the near future. Also, of course, the Urban Meyer story and that whole mess with his kids, current and former, is all the rage right now. And, of course, Big Ten Media Day is going on, and he's been answering for his sins of the past, or at least the sins of his players.
Right.
He's almost gotten a pass to some degree. I mean, you look back at all the issues they had with the law, his players had with the law when he was at Florida, and I don't want to say he turned a blind eye or didn't discipline properly, but it was a little out of hand during his time in Gainesville.
Yeah. Now, to blame him for Aaron Hernandez being a murderer, I think that's wrong.
Is it?
I think so.
But I want to so badly. Why do I hate Urban Meyer so much?
Well, he's kind of a jerk. I mean, I don't think kind
of. That's it.
He is. Okay. He comes off very pompous. So it's easy to hate somebody like that.
If I had two national titles and an undefeated season to boot, I'd probably be a little pompous.
And then go into Ohio State and go undefeated when they're on probation. And he's a good coach. Nobody questions that. I think some of the comments he's made and his departure at Florida may make people a little bit not like him. But I heard that stuff about Aaron Hernandez. I really don't think he needs an answer for Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez needs an answer for Aaron Hernandez. And if he did something and they tried to cover it up, that's one thing. I really don't think they knew he murdered anybody down there, if he did murder anybody there or whatever they're trying to.
Well, apparently there's a grand jury that's looking into that now. So he may not only be answering for the killing in Connecticut, but also the one down there. So
yeah, well, I would hope that if they had any knowledge that he had any involvement in that, that they would have been cooperative with the authorities and all that. And being involved in a bar fight, drinking, whatever he may have done that he got in trouble for, doesn't go straight to murder.
No.
So I don't think that he needs to be talking about it that much.
Nate, we all know that underage drinking and fighting is a gateway drug to murder.
To murder?
We all know that.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. Wake up.
Well, you know how us media people are trying to stir the pot and make it look like Meyer knew that there was something wrong, that he was troubled.
Well, look, nobody in their right mind, I think, can blame Urban Meyer for the Aaron Hernandez situation. But we all want to try so badly because we dislike Urban Meyer so much for so many different reasons. He was talking yesterday at his news conference during the Big Ten Media Day. And one of the comments, of course, the other thing was about his program did turn in Florida for some violations.
Yeah.
He claims he didn't know anything about it, which is absolute baloney. Because here's the deal. If you're an assistant or an administrator at Ohio State, are you really going to turn in a guy's former school and not tell him about it and go, hey, look, We know Ohio State did XYZ, or we know Florida, rather, did XYZ. What do you think about us turning them in? We think we ought to.
Yeah.
I mean, are you sure he really am I supposed to? That's less believable than Johnny Manziel's phone died. I mean, come on, that's man. But at least he did address it. He addressed all the things he didn't want to address yesterday. And Aaron Hernandez, his last coach of his football career anywhere ever, had to address it as well yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we'll hear from Bill Belichick in just a second. Yeah. And, of course, the team captains are going to speak today. They have a new format, I guess, where they want all the some of the players to speak the day before camp starts, which is tomorrow for the Patriots, so the players speak today. And Belichick didn't want the players to be the first people to address the whole issue with Hernandez, so he wanted to come out in advance of that, and that's how we ended up with the Belichick stuff yesterday. Let's start with Urban Meyer, though, first things first, talking about his role or his program's role in the fingering of Florida.
Mm-hmm. I found that out after the fact that our compliance office forwarded an article. From what I understand, after the fact, that the article was not the only one that was sent. It was about some conversation with a bump or something like that. So I'm not sure how that all became a major story. And there was certainly no intent to go after Florida.
Excuse me.
And my dog ate my homework.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a little hard to believe. But that's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that. Also, he addressed the very obvious question of his reputation. I think he understands that. We were talking to Barrett Salee of Bleacher Report yesterday about Johnny Manziel, and I said, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't get to do all these other things and be the superstar athlete you are and then expect not to have people, you know, look at you more closely. Yeah. You know, and if you want to live like a 20-year-old, you're going to get looked at more closely. And, you know, if you're out doing things that other 20-year-olds are doing, people are going to look at it differently than they would another college student. And it's like, you know, his point was, well, Johnny Manziel really doesn't care. He doesn't care if people are talking about it. He doesn't care if people think it's weird that he's drinking beers and, you know, missing meetings. And, I mean, he doesn't seem too concerned about it. I think Urban Meyer is kind of in the same boat as far as his reputation goes. I think he realizes that a lot of people don't like him. Whether or not he cares is a completely different issue. But he did address his reputation yesterday at the news conference.
How do I view my own reputation? I don't view my own reputation. I guess the reputation is what others think of you. I worry more about our team, about our players. I'm 49 years old, been doing this for a long time, so I can't control. I think I tried to do that once. It didn't work out very well. So I'm not going to control what people think about myself or our program.
Nate, do you work to control your reputation, or do you just let people think what they want?
No, I think I try to keep a good reputation. And I think he does too. And I think it does bother him. It bothers anybody. And I don't care what they say when they come out. When somebody comes out and says, "I don't care what people think about me," that's BS. That, you know, really is. Whenever somebody says that, "I don't care what people think of me," that means they care what they do. And like, I think everybody cares what people think of them. Now there's some instances where you have to do something. And, you know, you got to do it. And you know there's going to be implications to it. You do it anyway in life. But you know that. But I think he wants to be respected among his peers and everything. I think he does. And
what's your favorite BS line? That one or money's no object?
Yeah.
Money's always an object, isn't it?
It is.
Even for Kim Kardashian or and Kanye West, who reportedly spent $750,000 on gold-plated toilets in their home.
Or it's not about the money. You always hear that a lot. It's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's about the money when you're playing pro sport. It's about the money.
Yeah, but at the same time, when a guy like, say, Brandon Phillips gets a huge new contract, $72 million plus, and calls it a slap in the face, then we get mad at him.
Yeah.
But he's just being honest.
Yeah.
So you got to pick a side.
There's market value there. With pro athletes, I've had a couple tell me, you know, they're going to pay me what they pay me, and that's what the market value is. It's not my fault. And it really is true. But but for them to say, "Hey, I'm not doing it for the money," that was in the 50s and 60s. Now with the money the way it is, players are not putting themselves out in harm or you know, they got a hangnail, they sit out because they're worried about the contract. And maybe there's some justification there.
Maddie and I have been in with the GM a couple of times and tried to explain to him the fair market value for a decent radio host and a spectacular producer on a midday show is approximately $500,000 a year. He didn't necessarily agree with that.
But we're still trying.
Bro, it's worth a try. Look, all they can say is no. You know, and if he doesn't understand what our true market value is, that's not on us, that's on him. And I told him, you know what, you sound ridiculous right now, not understanding what our market value is. I feel bad for you not knowing that we're worth at least $500,000. It's crazy to me, but that's cool. Whatever. Hey, you know what? somebody's going to pay us what we're worth, Matt. Somebody's going to pay us what we're worth. And at that point, we'll be gone. And then they're going to miss us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and it's going to be too late then, isn't it?
Yep.
It's going to be too late. Speaking of Aaron Hernandez, I guarantee you there are about, I don't know, 400 to 500 things that Bill Belichick would have rather been doing yesterday than talking about Aaron Hernandez. But I do at least appreciate the fact that he hit it head-on yesterday, and I thought he handled it quite well from what I saw. ESPN played not only the comments live, but then they replayed the majority of the comments back in their entirety this morning. So they didn't, it wasn't completely, I guess, in their entirety, but they did play a good chunk of the beginning of his comments about it. They didn't play the Q&A session, and really there was a lot of repetitive questioning in the in that situation. And, of course, he can't address a lot of it because, you know, part of it is you know, involved in the legal process. So he did talk about why don't you just run through all these clips? I mean, but it's, you know, this is all about Hernandez and, you know, what their role was and all that and what they're going to try to take away from it, because the bottom line is, you know, there are going to be bad things that happen, and I wouldn't necessarily call this a Patriot mistake because, by all accounts, it was a right move. I mean, you took a guy who had a, maybe a little bit of a sketchy past. You got him in a great, you know, later in the round, later in the draft. He developed into an all-pro tight end, and he thrived in your system. He's a guy that had all sorts of upside. You can't predict this kind of, you know, ridiculously stupid behavior. But for them, I mean, they made the right move probably in a lot of ways from a football standpoint, maybe not from a personality standpoint. But he talked about all those things, and I thought Bill Belichick did a pretty darn good job.
When I was out of the country, I learned about the ongoing criminal investigation that involved one of our players, and I and other members of the organization were shocked and disappointed in what we had learned. Having someone in your organization that's involved in a murder investigation is a terrible thing. As the coach of the team, you know, I'm primarily responsible for the people that we bring into the football operation. Our players are generally highly motivated and gifted athletes. They come from very different backgrounds. They've met many challenges along the way. Sometimes they've made bad or immature decisions, but we try to look at every single situation on a case-by-case basis and try to do what's best for the football team and what's best for the franchise. Most of those decisions have worked out, but some don't. I mean, overall, I'm proud of the hundreds of players that have come through this program, but I'm personally disappointed and hurt in a situation like this. We'll learn from this terrible experience that we've had. We'll become a better team from the lessons that we've learned. We have so many players on this team that work hard, that do the right thing, and it's set a great example of being a professional and being a solid representative of this team and a community.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again now. Spygate, the Super Bowl losses in recent games, and now this, again, only some of which the organization's responsible for. But I would say that the shine is a little bit off the New England Patriots, an organization that I think everybody, whether you're an NBA guy, you know, an NHL guy, a Major League Baseball guy, or an NFL guy, you look to that organization as this is the model. I think that's maybe been tarnished just a touch.
I think so. And I think they became, you know, a victim of a lot of coaches and staffs and organizations of the winning at all cost type thing. And you definitely want to win, and you got to try to win, but you can't do that. And the Hernandez thing's a tricky thing because, you know, I've talked to NFL guys that I know, the locker room's pretty big. Unlike, you know, basketball or something, you know, like that, there can be guys that you don't talk to very much, and it's very likely that a lot of those guys didn't know what he was doing in his personal life. The coaches certainly didn't know, and as long as he's not, you don't hear reports about him getting into, you know, incidents at clubs and things like that. You just assume everybody's probably doing what they do and maybe being a little bit rowdy and maybe being even dumb, but not being a murderer. And it'll be interesting to see what the players say, because if they had any inkling that was going on, you think that somebody would have been mentioned, somebody would have said something in the organization, like, hey, this guy's hanging around gang members, something like that. But again, in a locker room like that, maybe guys just mind their own business and don't worry about it. It'll be interesting to see what they say.
Well, the interesting thing, too, about yesterday was he was back in court and there was a probable cause hearing. They're still piling evidence up, and they're still presenting to the grand jury. So it's been a little bit of a delayed process, and you could tell that his attorneys were very frustrated. I didn't see him speak at all. The other odd thing was that it was going on exactly the same time that Belichick was addressing the media. In fact, they cut away from Belichick to go to the courtroom when he came in, and then they took the audio of the proceedings there, and then they went back to the Belichick thing afterwards. There wasn't really anything that came out of it other than, you know, the discussion about delaying and presenting more information to the grand jury, which apparently is going on right now. So,
yeah.
But again, a frustrated defense team, but they're trying to get this thing moving as quickly as they can. And then the judge said, well, hey, look, in a month when we're going to present this again, I'm not going to be here. If that's not a problem for anybody, we'll roll with it. And I think that was the ultimately the what they came to as an understanding. Now, meanwhile, in other news, the Boston Globe reporting that prosecutors are arguing before a grand jury that he, Aaron Hernandez, should be charged with the shooting deaths of two men outside a Boston nightclub last year. A previously unsolved murder in which Hernandez emerged as a prime suspect last month. This happened on July 16th, so right around a year ago. A fight broke out at Cure Nightclub in Boston between a group of men that included Hernandez and a second group of folks. The second group that then left the club in their own car. Down the block, a silver or gray SUV pulled up alongside and sprayed bullets into the car, killing Daniel Abreu and Safiro Furtado. The car hadn't been identified or recovered, but apparently that's changed. The Herald has scoured court papers regarding the search of Hernandez's uncle's house, and among the evidence seized, investigators found the SUV involved in the killings.
Mm.
This is getting worse for him.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I'll add there, if that happened last year, he was there and everything. How come the Patriots didn't know about that? I mean, that sounds like a pretty major incident. I mean, he was involved in a fight at a nightclub where two kids were killed. Now, that is something that I think if they knew about that, then they are negligent. And you know, it's one of those things where the win-at-all-cost stuff, well, he wasn't charged with anything. We can't quite prove he was there, even though we heard he's there. We're just going to ignore it. Now, that's different. If they find out that they knew about that, then I hold them responsible a little bit for not taking some action against him then.
Well, it's a bit of a cliche, but we'll see what happens next. So, I mean, I guess for Hernandez, there's not going to be another chapter for another month. You'll get to hear from Patriots players later today, and we'll have some of that for you tomorrow, I'm sure, of them talking about it. You know, Tom Brady's already addressed it, I think, on a radio network about it. And, you know, bottom line is I think they were all caught off guard. So it's a bad deal, and you hate it for them, and you hate it for the league, and you hate it for the victim. And, you know, there's no winners in this whole deal, and certainly not Aaron Hernandez, who's probably going to be put under the prison.
And then there's other cases. I think, was there one in Florida, too, that they're looking at, too, maybe, with him?
I don't know.
Is there another one? Is there three total, this one that just happened and two others? Well, certainly there's legal organizations that are looking into this now in other places where he's been. And then he had an incident where he hit a guy with his gun in his face or whatever. That happened earlier,
too. Just a whipping? Still against the law?
Yeah.
To amend my behavior pretty soon. In happy news out of the world of the NFL.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Chris Johnson and Devin Hester, two of the fastest guys in the NFL. I love the old days when they, with Darryl Green, they would do the NFL's fastest man.
Yeah.
We've talked about it being, you know, changing the Pro Bowl maybe to a skills and drills challenge, you know.
Yeah.
So whether it's a, you know, shuttle drill, 40-yard dash, longest throw, most accurate quarterback, I don't care what you do. I don't know how you figure out a competition for receivers. I wouldn't even care if they did like a celebrity wipeout type deal. That'd be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Regardless, the game is lame, and they got to do something different.
The receivers have to jump over a moat full of alligators and catch a football.
I like that. Would they be actual alligators, or would they be mechanical?
Yeah, no, real.
Seems like that could be a violation of their rights, Nate. Depends how much the
money gets. Entertaining, though.
Yeah, well, it would be, I guess. Chris Johnson and Devin Hester, two of the fastest in the league. Now, the question is, are they faster than a cheetah? National Geographic hopes to answer that question during its fourth annual Big Cat Week on National Geo Wild. The Tennessee Titans running back, the Bears wide receiver, part of the Man vs. Cheetah special that will air in November. Johnson's officially considered the fastest player in the NFL, clocked a 40 at 4.24. Hester holds the record for the most career touchdowns and the most career punt return touchdowns specifically, and has a 40 time and around the 4.27 level. Cheetah can reach speeds of nearly 60 miles an hour, but given its long stride, the cheetah is more suited to races of distance greater than 40 yards. So we'll see.
How do they make sure that joker doesn't attack them?
I don't know. I'm assuming they'll put him on some sort of...
he's in his own little lane,
yeah,
in a cage or something?
I assume so, yeah. And will they run a rabbit down the thing where he chases it, or how does that work? I'm curious. So we'll see. Maybe they'll do it on a dog track, like some sort of modified greyhound track.
I'll be tuning in to see this.
That would be great. I think it's great. It's a great made-for-TV event. Yeah. I love it. So anyway, we'll I guess it's not until November, so we'll find out together. Scout.com, looking at the upcoming SEC season, and not only are they making predictions, they're going game by game, which I like. So we'll take a look at that a little bit. And when we come back, we're going to start doing it. We've been talking about it for about a week now. We're going to find the best villain in the history of movies, any genre. according to our listenership here in the zone. So we're going to get thoughts on that. I've got some matchups for you when we come back. So get ready, my man. It's an either-or Thursday.
All right.
But if you want to make a deal, you need to get down to Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Benton, Arkansas. The GM is gone, but the regional manager, Roddy Moneybag Plack, is here, and he told me we're giving them away. I don't think he means it literally, but it's the next best thing. I see three deals getting worked right now. So, I mean, it is jamming here already today. I'm going to tweet out a picture of this purple Challenger, and if you're a UCA fan,